before Moses could approach his first presentation of God. First thing God says, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. In other words, you got to take some stuff. You got to unrobe yourself of anything that's not like God. Because sin cannot come in the presence of God. When you bring sin, you're coming to repent. And then you can have proper worship. Sin prohibits us from being able to worship God. That's why he said the hour now when the true worshiper shall worship me in spirit. We understand that, but in truth. And when sin is resident in your life, known sin, you can't worship God in spirit and in truth. God is calling for this hour of not just obedience, but perfect obedience. Kind of like when Mary told the servants at the wedding at Canaan, says, whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do. This is the season. Whatever he tells you to do it, do it. When God speaks in the house like he has done through that woman of God, through your co-pastor, twice God spoke. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God is serious. And you have to become serious about worshiping God and understanding you're serving a holy God. No sin can stand in his presence. Doesn't mean that we won't fall short, but he tells us when you know that you are in known sin, he says, confess. So that my blood can wash it away. So that you can have fellowship and relationship. There was something that I was going to try to start my series on Acts 2 model. Last Sunday I tried, and this Sunday I'm prepared. But as I was studying and just preparing for today, I was cross-referencing a scripture that I was going to use along with the series in the Acts 2 model. It was in the book of Jonah. And I thought I would just use it for cross-reference. But the more I read, the more I start pulling out little bits of revelation out of that. And I still thought I would use it as a cross-reference. But now I see why God took me to Jonah today. Obedience is the key to walking with God and living a victorious and prosperous life in God. Obedience. Obedience is when you are willing to totally, by your own volition, to do what God has commanded you to do. You know you get off into wrong places and sin when you fail to walk in obedience. That is a word that we don't like to use, particularly in this generation, the millennial generation, we call it. We don't particularly like to use that word because we question everything now. I'm not totally against you being able to ask questions and say why you do this. But when you have to deal with God and the word and you start questioning a lot, you're going to get yourself in some trouble. Because 9 times out of 10, you're going to start compromising. Because when we start questioning the word over and over and over, that means it's something that we don't necessarily want to walk in. that God is telling us to walk that way. It's almost like a parent saying, you know, I want you to go to bed. You know, you were young and you were growing up and your parents would say, you know, at 8:30 you're going to bed. Mom, why? Isn't that too early? There's a television show I still want to watch. But you went to bed. And maybe as you got older, you felt like, you know, I'm too old for this. And maybe you didn't. Well, Mom thought you went to bed and you didn't. And when she found you or found out that you didn't, that was a penalty. That was a price to pay. And somebody say, I know that's right, Pastor. And God is like that. When God is asking us to walk in obedience and we don't, there's a penalty that you will pay. That's retribution. Make no mistake about it. And God is not sitting up in heaven saying, I'm ready to spank you. I'm just waiting for you to get out of line so I can spank. That's not God's desire. We serve a loving God. He doesn't desire to do that to you. He wants all of us to walk in obedience. And somebody said, well, it's hard to do that sometimes, Pastor. It is hard when your flesh is ruling your spirit. I found it's a little bit easier when your spirit is ruling your flesh. But if you are always feeding your flesh, then that's the strong guy. That's the strong guy. But if I feed my spirit and starve my flesh, it's a whole lot easier to walk in obedience. In fact, I want to do what God wants me to do because my appetite has changed. See, if you feed your flesh all the time, there's a certain appetite that you have that your spirit don't necessarily like, but your flesh loves it. You have to learn how to change your appetite until now your flesh does not like what your spirit is eating, and you want it that way. And now you can rule your flesh, and your spirit rules your flesh. That's what God wants. He wants perfect obedience. Can I just read a little bit out of Jonah? I just want to read just a little bit out of Jonah, the book of Jonah. And I won't read a lot because most of you know the story. But the word of the Lord says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now he's told Jonah, he says, go to Nineveh, because Nineveh is a wicked city. Okay, verse 3 says this. But Jonah rose up to flee unto where? Unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Woo-hoo. We got major problems right there, don't we? So God tells Jonah, I have you on an assignment. I've got an assignment for you. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to cry against that city. In other words, I want you to preach and tell that city, warn that city of their wickedness. That was his assignment. Jonah, on the other hand, decided that he didn't want to obey God. He didn't want to submit to his assignment. God has been telling some of you, I've got things that I want you to do. This is the path that I want you to take. I want you to go this way. You have your place that God has assigned for you to go. He's told you to do certain things, and you said up and you rose up in your mind, I don't want to do that. So what does Jonah do? Jonah goes in the opposite direction. He rises up and he goes to Tarshish. The Bible says he flees to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. How do you run from the presence of the Lord? Come on. But we do it, believers. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you would be there. If I go down to the depths of the sea, you're still there. How can we escape the presence of the Lord? Verse 4 now, whenever and you decide that you're going to do the opposite of what God calls you to do, whenever you decide that you're going to walk in an opposing direction, look for opposition to happen in your life. Notice what happens in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the city. Into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken. That's what the King James said. It didn't say the devil did that. He's on a ship on his way to Tarshish, but he was supposed to be going where? Come on, talk to me. He's supposed to be going to Nineveh. God told him to do a certain thing. He decided he didn't want to do it, and he wanted to do the opposite thing. That, the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. The wind was so fierce until it almost broke the ship in two. And then verse 5 says, then the mariners or the sailors were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Jonah was serving the true and living God. The Bible indicates that they were worshiping false gods, because it says every mariner was afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it thereof. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. He done caused all the trouble, but he's asleep. Everybody's about to perish around him, but he's asleep. Okay, let me take a side note on this. Okay. Whenever you walk in disobedience and you connect to people, or people are connected to you, do you understand that you put them in harm's way? When you decide, parents, that you're no longer going to walk with God and you're not going to go to church any longer, guess what? You put your children in harm's way. Whatever's connected to us, we put them in harm's way. So this thing is deeper than us. It's about everything that's connected to you. It's about the people that you influence. You've witnessed to people. You've ministered to people. And all of a sudden, you decide that you're going to walk in disobedience. And now you're hanging out at the club. You told them 6 months ago that you're living holy, and holiness is the only way. You're going to put people in harm's way. Their salvation now. They may not come to know Christ because of your disobedience. It's more than just us. It's about the people that we touch and the people that we influence, the people that we are connected to. He's asleep. And the unfortunate thing is, so many people are asleep in Zion right now. You're walking in disobedience and you're just, no biggie. I got up another day. I'm still here. It's all right. Because I didn't want to do what God wanted me to do. The problem with that is that you fail to understand the scriptures. The Bible said, know ye not that you have been bought with a price, and you do not belong to yourself? Is that in your Bible? When you have been bought with a price and you don't belong to yourself, that means you can't call the shots. I know this is tight, but it's right, isn't it? Because the church now, we in this place where, you know, if I don't want to hear that and that doesn't sound good to me, I'll leave this church and I'll go up the street. And then you get truth there, and then that didn't feel right to you, and that scratched you wrong and rubbed you wrong, and you leave there and you go there. And you've got people in the body of Christ now, they've been to 7 churches in the last 8 months. Because you know, the word rubbed them wrong, because, you know, okay, I can't do that, I got to leave there. And then you go there and you find out, oh, I can't do that over there either, okay, I got to leave there. When you've been bought with a price, you've got to learn that you've got to submit to the will of God. I wish I could tell you that the will of God was always comfortable. I was always agreeable with the will of God. No, I was not always agreeable with the will of God, but I submitted to the will of God. Jonah decides that he's going to go another way. He's asleep. Verse 6 says this. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. In other words, we've been calling upon our gods and nothing has happened. He says, you know, why don't you get up and call upon your God? If so be that your God will think upon us that we perish not. So they wake Jonah up. Jonah is not even aware of what has been going on. Can I tell you, sometimes we walk in a place of disobedience and we don't even realize the danger that we are in and the danger that we've put other people in. We're oblivious to it. We're just walking around like everything is still the same. Let me tell you something. The moment you step out of covenant with God and you start walking in obedience, things start to change. The problem, see, what gets us is because you don't see it immediately, you think everything is still the same. No, everything is not the same. Some have shifted. And the reason why we don't see the repercussions of that, for the people that want to get it right, we repent and the thing shifts back quickly. But make no mistake about it, when you sin, that breaks fellowship. Because sin cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. So we walk around oblivious because we ain't died yet. Well, I'm still out here. Still got my job. Yeah, I'm still drinking, but you know. And I'm still having sex outside of marriage and nothing happened. You know, I'm still okay. No. Make no mistake about it. A shift has happened. And if you stay out there long enough, you're going to start seeing the manifestations of sin. Come on, somebody. You got to understand. See, that's how the devil tries to lure you. You ever heard of the story where you put the frog in the water? And if you want to boil him, you don't put him in hot water because he'll jump right out. What you do is you put him in that cool water. And he's just chilling in there. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then you gradually turn that heat up. You know, some of y'all, you know, the devil just slow cooking you. You know, I'm good. I'm still at the club. Yeah, let's get it on. Yeah, we're doing it. How you? What's up, dog? Yeah, girlfriend. Yeah, I can't tell you what I did last night. Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and Boo, we got, I thought you was in the church. Church stuff. Slow cooking. You come back an hour later, your boy bawling in there. Because he didn't realize he was caught the moment they got him in there. See, that's how the enemy does. You know, you don't realize that, you know, things have shifted. You know, what did God tell Adam and Eve? He says, every tree of the garden you can eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat it, you're going to die. They ate it. They didn't drop dead right then. But death, the curse fell at the very moment that they ate it. And everything happened to the earth. That's why weeds grow now. That's why we got the curse on the earth now. That's why evil is in the land now. Because he set things in motion. Count up the cost. Verse 7. Can I just take you through? This wasn't my design, but I'm just taking you through. I want you to get this in your spirit. Verse 7 says it, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for who cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots. Check this out. And the lot fell upon who? It fell upon Jonah. Oh, you're the problem. You're the cause of this right here. This is what they did. They cast lots. And then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? What do you do? Oh, I'm a preacher. I'm a born again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. From where you come, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And here's Jonah. Jonah says, well, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He confesses. See, they're worshiping false gods. Jonah, this is crazy too. Now, they're worshiping false gods. They bust Jonah out. He's busted. Lot falls on him. They find out you're the cause of this. And then they ask him, where you from? He says, I'm a Hebrew. He says, I worship the God of heaven and in earth, the one that made the sea and the dry land. Now, he presents the true God to them. Even in his disobedience, he can't hide up. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but have you ever kind of backslid, fell up in the club, at the bar, trying to drink a little something, and somebody saying, you don't fit here. You look like, you're like a church girl. You go to church. And you trying to cuss, and you can't even cuss right no more. Cause you don't even fit in anymore. You know, you busted. Or you fall up in somewhere and say, don't you go to that church up by the 7-Eleven? What 7-Eleven you talking about? No, don't get brain dead. You know exactly, busted. You know the one by off of 197. I thought I saw you there. No, not me. You brought the top of somebody else. That won't you? I thought we was at the altar together. It's amazing how you think you're getting away. You think you're back out there. Can I tell you something? You can go back out there, but you won't fit in. We ought to be the salt. We are called to be the light. Light doesn't fit in darkness. After you have tasted the goodness of God, how can you go back into the pollution of the world? We don't fit in. This is amazing. So Jonah says, yeah, I serve the true and living God. Verse 10 says, then were the men exceedingly afraid. Say, oh God, you're the reason why we're in this trouble. You're walking in disobedience. They had enough sense to know you are in disobedience. Your God told you to do something and you didn't do it. Even the world knows sometimes you can't get away when you do the wrong thing. And he said unto them, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them so. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth and was tempestuous, which means it was violent. It was rough out there. It had to be because they're saying, man, wake up. And then they're saying, what can we do? Jonah's the cause of the problem. He's brought havoc, chaos, and a storm to those that he's connected to. When you walk in obedience, you bring havoc, chaos, and storms in the lives of people because of your disobedience. I want you to get this in your spirit because the Lord is speaking today. You've got to take your calling and election sure. You got to make it sure. You have to take it serious now. This is not one of those things where you jump in and you jump out. You jump in and you jump out. That's why God said, he says, I can't deal with lukewarm people. He says, I either want you hot or cold, but if you lukewarm, he said, I'll just spit you out. I can't handle that. I can't handle. In other words, he said, I would just rather deal with just a raw sinner than to deal with somebody that comes to church and then you live another way when you leave. You say you love me, but you don't obey me. He says, you're lukewarm. He said, I don't like that. See, because God is not like some of us, you know. Some of us, we were like, you know, I'm with you and I'm with you too. God doesn't work like that. You either with me or you're not with me. You've got to draw a line in the sand with God. He said, you're standing. Who's on my side? The songwriter said, who's leaning on the Lord's side? If you're leaning on the Lord's side, stand up. But if you're leaning on the devil's side, you stand up. God doesn't have any in between. My mama used to call in sometimey people. You know, sometimes they with you and sometimes they not. You know, God doesn't deal with that. You either all in or you're all out. Oh, God. That's so heavy, isn't it? Because, God, you know, don't you understand? You know, can't a brother have a little fun every now and then? Can't girlfriend do a little? God said, no. That's not fun. You're either all in or you're all out. There's 66 books in this Bible, 39 old and 27 new. And he expects us to obey the word of the Lord. You got to be either all in or you're all out. You can't be partially in. You know, where I have selected scriptures that I will obey. As long as it agrees with my spirit. When's the last time God says, you know, you got to obey me as long as it agrees with your spirit? You obey the word because the word is truth. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. I've discovered something. When I obey the word of God, it always turns out better for me. Always. Can somebody say amen to that one? Then look at verse 12. He says, because he's saying, okay, what can we do? The men asked him, what can we do to stop this mess that's going on? Here's what Jonah says now. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for thou sake this great tempest is upon you. He finally says, you know what? I know it's on me. I'm the cause of this. Just dump me overboard. Some of you got to come and have a moment where you say, it's on me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I caused this. You know, my family would be in a better place if it wasn't for me. That wouldn't even have happened if I had to stay where I'm supposed to stay. The reason why this is like it is, I'm gonna own this thing now. See, some of you got to own this thing and say, you know what? My kids would have been a whole lot better had I, you know, I shouldn't have had them in the house, and I brought them in, and it wasn't right. You know, you got to own some things. You got to own some things because sin always has repercussions, and it affects other people, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. He says, dump me overboard. Man, Jonah's a bold guy. Now, I don't know if I would still have said, you know, I know I'm the problem, but throw me over the ship. Just throw me out. Throw me out. I can't honestly say I would have probably said that one. You know, can you do something else, God? But, you know, he said, throw me overboard in the midst of the sea. You know, he said, this is going to stop it. So let's see what they do. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. In other words, they said, man, I ain't going to do that. They're going to throw you over, man. That's like killing you. I want your blood on my hand. So they said, we're going to still try to row, man. We're going to get to the shore. But they could not, for the sea wroth and was tempestuous against them. Can I tell you something? When you are walking in disobedience, no matter what you try to do, and those people that come alongside to try to help you, they won't be able to help you until you line up with the will of God. Amen. You're throwing money in the wind if you try to bless somebody. Come on, somebody. That's out of the will of God. I'm just telling you. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You trying to help somebody that's not in the will of God, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm going to be beside you. I got your back. You got it back all you want. But until they line up with the will of God, it's not going to work out. Verse 14 says, Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They finally came to them senses and say, okay, we cannot get you to shore. The wind and the sea is too rough for us. God, please don't lay his blood to our charge, but we're going to dump him over. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Please, Lord, have mercy on us, but we're going to dump him over. It's better for one man to die than all of us to die. Woo, gee, doesn't that sound like the word? For by one man's death, many was able to live. Don't you understand? When you are willing to die to your flesh and walk in obedience, many are going to live. But if you decide to walk in your flesh, many are going to die. Can I get some amen on that? Woo! Here it is, verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Can I say this to you? Even in Jonah's disobedience, somebody found out who the true and living God was. Even though he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he's on his way to Tarshish. Of course, he didn't make it. But even in that, God still used him to bring somebody into the knowledge of who the true and living God is. Why do I say that? Because verse 16 says this. Notice, but I want you to see, go back to verse 15. It says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. In other words, once they dumped him over, the sea got calm again. Now, remember now what Jonah said. He says, if you take me up and throw me overboard, the sea will be calm. He told them before it happened. Did you get that revelation? So, remember now, they're not serving the true and living God. They're serving a lot of different gods. But Jonah is on the ship and he says, I serve God, the one that made the heaven and the earth. In other words, I serve the true and living God. And now, God is going to show himself to those men that I am the true and living God. So Jonah says, if you dump me overboard, everything is going to calm down and everything is going to come back in line. They dumped him overboard and the Bible said, and the sea ceased from her raging. Verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Look at that. The sailors got saved. Even in his disobedience. Yeah, you at the bar and you doing what you doing, but somebody got saved. And then, check this out. They feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Jonah had to pay the price. Okay, I'm going to take a side note on this. Before those men could know who the true and living God is, guess what? Somebody had to make a sacrifice. Jonah had to sacrifice. He thought it was going to be his life so that those men could get a presentation of who the true and living God was. See, Jesus said it like this. I think it's in John around chapter 12, verse 24. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. It's got to die to bring forth much fruit. See, that's why we have to die to our flesh if we're going to bring forth a spiritual harvest of souls into the kingdom of God. But as long as we walk in our flesh, we can't bring forth the harvest. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to die. And when Jonah was cast overboard seemingly to die, now those men got a presentation of who God was. It was a sign. They saw, oh, he said the sea would calm. His God calmed the sea. And they knew this man served the true and living God. Remember, because their God didn't calm the sea. They were calling on their God, but nothing happened. Now, you can call on Allah, Buddha. Come on. You can call on all of those. But I'm telling you, they will not be able to answer you because they're dead. But there's one that I know that he died, but he rose on the third day, and he's alive forevermore. And somebody say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Somebody say, Jesus. Now, here's the beauty. In your disobedience, God never cast you to the side. I am so glad for mercy and grace. Somebody come on, talk back to me. I'm so glad that the story does not end there. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been in disobedience? And if the story were to end there, you would be out of the ark of safety. Aren't you so glad that God gave you mercy? Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Doesn't that sound familiar? Woo, Jesus. Jesus was crucified, buried. But on the third day, God, I feel my Holy Ghost there. But on the third day, he got up. I love this story because it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow him up. God could have just allowed him to be thrown overboard and drowned. And he would have been justified because Jonah disobeyed him. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinned, according to Ezekiel 18, shall what? Shall die. God would have been justified in doing so. But God, in his love and his mercy, he had already prepared a way of escape for him. That's where mercy got us. Come on, somebody. You know, when you stepped away from God and you decide to walk in disobedience, God is justified to drop the gavel on all of us. Thank God for new mercies every day. Thank God for great. Come on. Somebody need to stand right now. God, I thank you, God. I was in disobedience. You should have killed me. Yeah, the bullet should have got me. Come on, somebody. You should have dropped the gavel. But God, I ain't been saved that long that I am not forgetful of what it could have been, what it should have been. But the grace of God, the mercy of God stepped in. God prepared something for me. He said, no, I got an anointing on your life. I still got an assignment for you, Jonah. Come on, we got some Jonahs in the house right now. Somebody, this resonates with somebody. Yeah. Because it could have been the other way. You know, you're not too far removed from, you know, I walked away from God. I went in disobedience. I know what God told me, but I decided to go in my own way. I wanted to fulfill the thing that my flesh craved for. I had an appetite for that, and I went out to pursue it. And God had every right to drop the gavel. But the Bible said he prepared a great fish. God prepared that thing for us. He encamped his angels around you, even in your disobedience. He kept back the hand of the enemy. He stayed the bullet. Yeah, come on, somebody. You know where you were. Could have got a transmitted disease. But God, all the stuff you've been in. Come on, somebody. Talk back to me, church. Could have been the other way, but God could have been strung out all that stuff you put up your nose, all of that bottle you had here. Yeah, but he prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And before you know, when I was a younger preacher, I used to think, man, that's a tough place. That's tough. And then I say, no, that's mercy. That's mercy and grace there. You know, because if he doesn't have the fish, what does he do? It's just him in the whole sea. I don't care how good you can swim. You can't stay out there but so long. You're going down. But God took him and prepared a fish. Can I say this now? Because I'm going to bring it home. Whenever you disobey God, you know this. You're going down. You're going down. Doesn't mean you're not coming back up, but you're going down. Disobedience will never keep you on the mountain. Disobedience will always take you down in the valley. It'll always take you down. Come on. Come on. Just come on. Come on. Look back over your life. When you walked in disobedience, did everything keep on going? Oh, no. The Bible says in Proverbs, the way of the transgressor is hard. He wasn't talking about the unbeliever either. The Bible is not written to the unbeliever. It's written to the believer. Yeah, the way of the transgressor is hard. When you transgress the word of God, oh, you might. See, the fallacy is because, you know, you're still feeling okay. It's not that hard. But you know when the feeling's gone. And you know the feeling does. It leaves you. You know, I mean, you know, you're a few months, you're still hanging. You know, you're still chilling. But after a while, it's a penalty to pay. Yeah, it leaves you. But here is God. In his mercy, he prepares the fish. Okay, now let's see. Jonah goes down into the belly of the whale. And he's there for 3 days. See, sometimes, can I tell you this? Your trouble, your persecution, your affliction, the length of time will be determined by your humility and your repentance. If you want to play hardball with God, he'll keep you down there longer. If you don't want to come to yourself, he'll keep you right in there. It depends on what you decide. And the reason why I say that, because the Bible says, then Jonah prayed. Must have got to the third day, first day. I'm still upset. I shouldn't even be in this, you know. I ain't want to go to Nineveh. You know, them people, you know, they persecuted us. And, you know, that's why he didn't want to go. Because, you know, those people over there, you know, they didn't like us. You know, they didn't like the Hebrews. So Jonah didn't go there because he knew what God would do. You know, day two, he said, And after a while, okay, you go ahead and try to play hardball against God. I'm surprised that sometimes the saints have just tried to play hardball with God. Like, yeah, you hit me, I hit you back, God. Let's see how long you can sustain yours. God neither sleep nor slumber. You're going to get tired after a while. God said, go ahead, wear yourself out. Keep running your mouth. Keep throwing hits at me. But after a while, you're going to get tired. We'll see who outlasts one another. So third day comes down. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. Out of the fish's belly. He's in a deep, dark place. And now he starts to pray again. Lost your prayer life because you're walking in disobedience. You know, you ain't got time for God. But I found out something. God will put you in a place, in a box, until all you can do is look up and live. God, whatever you do, whatever you want, God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I bless your name. God, if you deliver me, I'll never turn my back on you. God, I give up boo. God, I won't smoke no more. God, Oh, come on, somebody. You know how to get a prayer through that. You found God, you're praying so hard, we think you're a prayer warrior. Hey, pressure, affliction, suffering, God. Oh, God, it'll bring you to your knees. But that's the beauty of it, because that's what God wants. He wants a broken and a contrite spirit. Doesn't want your proudness. Doesn't want your disobedience. Because when you come out of this, can't nobody get you to walk away from God this time. Has anybody been spanked so much by God until if you get me out of this, ain't nobody gonna get me back down there. When you see the number, no. The devil is a liar. I'll break that phone. I ain't picking that back up. That took me to hell and back. I ain't going back there. Am I talking to anybody? If it even smells, I'm gone. What's wrong with you? It smell. It ain't. I know that smell. That aroma. No. I've been there. That took me to some dark places. He says this. He says, out of the belly of the fish, he said, I cried by reason of my affliction. Don't let nobody tell you that when God afflicts you, it won't make you cry out to him. Yeah, God will use affliction to get your attention. Because Jonah said, it was by reason of my affliction that I cried unto the Lord. God couldn't get my attention before. I was walking in my own way. I decided, you know, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm going to Tarshish. But Jonah said, now, finally, the affliction that God released in my life, it caused me to cry out to him. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heard my voice. He said, I was in a very dark place. But do you know the beauty of this is, I don't care how dark the place is, when you cry out to God, God will always hear you. He will always hear you. Because sometimes it is God who has prepared the dark place for you. Because he knew if I didn't prepare that place, you would never come to yourself. Oh, this was the plan of God the whole time. Then he says here, for thou hast cast me into the deep, verse 3 of chapter 2, and in the midst of the sea, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. A lot of people don't believe this story, but I believe it. It is a miracle and it's amazing. He's in the belly of the whale. I don't know how deep he was, but he was probably pretty deep. And he says, all of this stuff is compassing me. God, if the whale opens his mouth, I drown. I mean, this is amazing how God can get our attention. Then he says in verse 4, then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I lost my focus. I started looking in other directions. You know, there were some things out there that was pulling on me, and I took my attention off of you, God, and I started walking in that way. Am I talking to anybody? But then he said in verse 5, the waters can pass me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. He said, oh, God. See, he wasn't comfortable in there. It wasn't like he was just chilling in the whale mouth there. It was like weeds were compassing him. I mean, he was like, oh, man, you know, I'm choking. You know, I'm smelling bad. I'm in a dark place. He said, yeah. You get my attention. He said, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. I don't care how deep and dark it gets in your life, how messed up you done messed up, how jacked up you are, if you cry out to the Lord, it will come up to God. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. But I will, oh God, here we go. He's coming to himself now. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Sounds like Jonah coming to himself now. Has anybody had a wake up call by God? God, I've been down and you got me in a dark place. But my God, I'm going to start looking up now. God, deliver me. God, you're still holy. God, you're still worthy. God, you're my God. You are my provider. Salvation is of the Lord. The moment he started looking up and he came to himself, the verse 10 says this, and the Lord spake unto the fish. I don't care what got you. God will speak to it and it's got to let you go. Devil, let her go. Devil, let him go. He's been in an addiction long enough. Come on out of there. You had to get out of there because you were the man to walk with me. It was a time you had to go. I don't care how low you got. You had to come out of there. Who am I preaching to? I don't care what has you. The devil's got to let you go. God will speak to that mess. He'll speak to that habit. He'll speak to that situation. High five your neighbor and say, devil, let her go. Devil, let him go. The Bible didn't say Jonah spoke to it. The Bible said the Lord spoke to the fish. The thing that had Jonah locked down, locked up, God spoke to it. I don't care what has you. God will speak to the depression and it's got to let you go. He'll speak to the disease and it's got to let you go. He'll speak to Boo and Boo got to let you go. Come on, somebody. God, I feel the anointing. He'll speak to your employer and they got to let that raise go. If God speaks to it, it's got to let you go. And the Lord spake unto the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's another amazing, that's a miracle too. How does the whale get close enough to vomit this man on dry land? Whales stay out in the very, very deep. So the fact that they would come that close to be able to vomit, that's a God thing right there. See, I don't care what it is. When God gets ready to deliver you, don't worry about how and when. He's got the power to do it. He's got the power and the ability to deliver you. Let me close on this. Now, did you learn your lesson? What, have you been in there long enough? Did you really learn your lesson? Or does God got to put you back in the... Let's see what Jonah does now. Because remember now, God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh. All of this happened because he decided to walk in disobedience. Let's see. Did you really learn your lesson? You know, because a soft behind makes an obedient heart. At least that's what my mama told me. Kush, kush, kush. Oh, yeah. It'll get you doing what you're supposed to do. And you'll stop saying, mama, but why? You don't say mama, why no more. You know, you didn't get too many whys in my era, because my era, why? But, Why that? I'm not telling you, President. I'm just telling you. You know, we didn't go down that road that these kids go down there. But anyway, let's see if Jonah learned his lesson. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the Lord, and the word of the Lord, okay. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Let's see what you're going to do now. Let's see, Ashley, what they're going to do now. Let's see what that boy gonna do now, you know. Cause the word of Lord, you know, how your parents come a second time and say, "Now I told you." Let's see what you're gonna do this time. You know, we gonna try you this time. Let's see. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise, go unto Nineveh. Ooh, doesn't that sound familiar? You just told me to do that a few days ago. He doesn't give me another word. He give me the same word. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to go back and do your first work over. No. You ain't going to get no elevation to the next grade. You're going to go back and do what I told you to do first. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Can I put it in A.L. Harris translation? Go back and do what I told you to do the first time. Go do what I told you to do before. I can hear my mama now. Go back now. Now, you going to do it now? Okay. Am I talking to anybody? That's the, come on, the folk in the 70s, you know what I'm talking about. You better not say nothing else. You going to do it. So, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee, that I told you before. Okay, God has spoken. He has told him, given him the same instructions a second time. Let's see. Does affliction work? So Jonah arose and went unto. And I can't get nobody to say it. And Jonah arose and went unto. And Jonah arose and went unto. According to the word of the Lord. Yeah, he got himself in order. Ah, let's see now. Let's see now. Let's see now. Let's see. He had a little attitude. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my mama tell me, I got an attitude. I'm going to do it. Sweep the floor again. Yes, sir. Now, that's where mama ain't looking. Because if mama come in there and see you with attitude, you couldn't even twist your mouth back then. You twist it on the inside, but you better be. Okay, let's see the attitude that Jonah had, okay? In terms of walking in obedience, whether he liked it or not. He says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Okay, so it's a 3-day journey from where the whale dropped off Jonah. It takes 3 days. So Jonah is within his right to take 3 days to get there. As you know, God, I'm upset. You know, I don't know why you had to take me and put me in the belly of the whale. You know, some of y'all get out of that, you know, that pit, and then you're still complaining. You know, God, I shouldn't have to go through all of that. You know, I mean, you know, everybody had a little problem sometimes, but people make mistakes, you know. And, you know, you didn't take me that far. You know, I would have eventually did what you wanted me to do. I don't think you had to go there. Jonah wasn't talking like that. Let's see what he said. Okay, so Nineveh's 3 days' journey. Let's see what verse 4 says. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. It doesn't sound like if he had an attitude, he didn't show it in his actions. It was 3 days to get there for a normal man. Jonah said, oh no, I ain't going back down in that well no more. I'm not going back down in that hell no more. I ain't going to hook up with them no more. Whatever you want me to do, God, here I go. Here I go. I don't know if he was 12 or 13 or 14, but he picked up a... I'm here. The Lord said to Nineveh, he's going to destroy the city in 40 days. Repent. God will get that attitude out of you. Come on, somebody. He'll get all of that hell out of you. He'll take you down low. When you come up, my God, you'll do what he wants you to do. You'll say what he wants you to say. And you won't take all day to do it. It take him no 3 days to get there. He said, an average man, yeah. What I've been through, I'm getting there, God. See, when you can remember all the hell you've been through, you ain't trying to go back down there. And you ain't trying to let nobody take you down there. So when God speaks to you in this season of your life, you got to move. Nudge your neighbor and say, it's time to move. We ain't going to vote on it. We ain't going to have no meeting. When God says move, we are going to move. Not somebody that says it's time to go. We ain't going to disobey no more. And the beauty of it, when you walk in obedience, God will work with you. The Bible says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Here's the beauty. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. Verse 6 says, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and set in ashes. And if that wasn't enough, he says, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. The true and living God, Jehovah. Let them turn everyone from his evil way, his repentance, and from the violence that is in their hand, his repentance. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? In other words, who can tell if God will change his mind concerning the thing that I've been doing if I repent? Humble, they humble themselves. Verse 10, and I'm closing. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways. What did I tell you? Repentance means a turnabout. It means to go in the opposite direction, physically, mentally, emotionally, behaviorally. They turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. I want you to stand right now. Can we just worship God for a moment? That's why it pays to walk in obedience. Come on, can you just lift your hands and just worship for a moment?